Share a thought with you. From Bianca Kamenetsky's, that's out, and I think it's a. And I'm going to modify it a little bit. So eventually, I'm going to say I'm going to be Karnit Mashinui. So it was Rebiakov's to start with, but eventually I changed it enough that, you know, there's a, I told you over the some surface says, you know, I'm sure Rebiakov's thinking the same thing, you know, that if I want to say his Torah and my name, that's fine, but just please don't say his, my Torah and his name. Right? So there's a matter at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, which will then I want to segue from that this thought into Shuas. Suas Reish. So the pasuk says Suas Reish. So the Medrash, of course, ties it back to the languages of the Suas Reish, which we find by Yosef. He's in the Beis Asurim, and there's the Mashka and the Oifa of Paro, and they have the stream, and he interprets the dream, and he says to both of them a lashon of Yisa Paros Reshecha veheshivcha kanecha. He says, "Paras reshcha me'alecha." Now, either he's going to lift up your head and put you back in your position, or he's going to lift your head off of your shoulders and kill you. Right? Those are the two languages over there. So the Medrash says that the Rashi uses the lashon in the beginning of a Sefer Bamidbar, and we don't know how it's going to play out. Is it going to be in a Sias Rosh that Klai Yisrael is lifted up and put on their foundation, al kanecha on their foundation, or Klai Yisrael has their head chopped off? And we see in Parshas the Sefer by the Meraglim that they have their head chopped off. So this Nesias Rosh over here is what didn't end up being so good, and that's why the Leviim aren't in the Nesias Rosh, etc. Ad kan Lashon HaMedrash. Okay, so it doesn't sound very geschmack. this Medrash over here, this sounds a little bit depressing. It sort of fits the mood that everybody's in right now. So let's see if we can do something but to make the marriage a little more. So Rabbi Yaakov comes along and he says that what are the purposes of counting? So the Rosh Hashanah says to Moshe Rabbeinu he should count. So a person can count totally shem shemayim, because that's the mitzvah. A person can count how many soldiers does he have, men of war. A person can count how many work hands does he have. I know we're going into Eretz Yisrael. How many people available to work the fields? A person can count. I'm a king over such a great nation. Look how many people are there. There can be many different reasons why we count. So David HaMelech counts Klal Yisrael at the end of Sefer Shmuel. Incorrectly so. The psukim fault him for that. And the Russian comes to him and he offers him a choice as a punishment. Three choices. Choice number one, that there could be a famine for 7 years. Choice number two, that Klal Yisrael could fall into the hands of the enemy. Choice number three, a dever, there's going to be a megefa for 3 days. Niplon lo biyad Hashem, so the pasuk which you say at the beginning of before Tachanun, David Melch said, I'd rather fall in the hand of Kadosh Baruch Hu than the hand of human beings, etc. So you know, he chooses the option of dever. So what was the conversation? Rabbi Yaakov says, what do you count for? You want to know that you, how many soldiers you have that you can fight against the enemy? The Russian says, okay, the punishment, you'll be nitin biyad oyev. You'll lose from the enemy. You live in an agricultural society, how many work hands there are in the fields to guarantee that we have food? No food for three. Right? Or you're counting because you're having the hanoa, the cheshivas of having these members of Klal Yisrael under your authority. They're going to die under your authority. And so that was the one of the whatever amount of the mistake that David HaMelech made at his level, this was the punishment, that there was some impact of such. So the Klal Yisrael has been chosen to be the Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the purpose of this counting was to arrange them as the Degolim around the Mishkan. So we're going to get the count and set them up now within this context of the goal. Or they can see it, the purpose of it is to see how many soldiers we have. When Klal Yisrael chose that they want to go into Eretz Yisrael, they need to know the plan, etc. It means they're seeing themselves as just as soldiers. So what they have done is emphasize the body over the head. It's the prowess, the broad, etc., as opposed to the neshama, which Klai still has. So basically, they've chosen to lift their head off of their body. It's the main thing is the body, not the head. So when you choose to lift the head off of the body, you end up with just a dead body. So the Nesias Rosh over here, at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Klaius is going to choose, in a certain sense, what they see the purpose of it is, what message they take out of it. That you've now all been conscripted in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, focusing around the Mishkan. Or the purpose of this, we have so many men of war, which we can now go and take over the land, the Eretz Yisrael. And that's how it's going to play out. That's what Yaakov says. So I want to take that thought and modify it a little bit. Okay. The Torah used the lashon of Pekida, that you should be Poiked, you should be Yifkoid, Sivkoid, lashon of Pekida multiple times here in the parsha for the counting of Klai Yisrael. So the Rabban points out, what is lashon of Pekida? Pekida is a lashon of oversight, Hashkacha. V'yafked ha-melech Pekidim. Right? So he appoints people. So the Rav Hirsch, I shared with you this Rav Hirsch once. Rav Hirsch has an absolutely awesome thought in the end of Parshas Vayechi and in Parshas Shmos, that Yosef tells Klal Yisrael that the Goyal is going to come in the language of Pekida, Pekid Pekadati. And then you're going to know that he's the true Goyal. Okay? Now, who knows that fact? Everybody in Klal Yisrael. Right? So now, let's say I'm a charlatan, I decide I want to be the Goyal. So I say, Pekid Pekadati says, how'd you know that? Oh, it's a simon, you must be the, you're the Goyal. Like, it's a secret which belongs to all of Klai, so which, for argument's sake, there, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes, one-fifth left, so it means if one-fifth was approximately 2 million people, there were 10 million people who all know the secret. Right? They all know that the right thing to say is Pekad Pekadot. Comes along this fellow and says Pekad Pekadot. He says, now we know you're the right guy. It really? Like, how does this supposed to work? So Ramban says an awesome shot. Rav Hirsch doesn't approach it, he approaches it in a totally different way. Rabban says, there's one person in Klal Yisrael who didn't know the secret. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. He grew up in the house of Paro. So the Hashkacha was that the one person in Klal Yisrael, which it's say, how did he know? Must be Hashem spoke to him. And had anybody else said it, it would be Shkoyach. It doesn't mean anything. But Moshe Rabbeinu says it has to be Hashem spoke to him. That's what Rabban says. But Hirsch says totally something differently. He says, Pekida doesn't mean I'm coming to beguile you. Use Lashon Gula. Pekida means I'm coming to appoint you. That we're leaving Mitzrayim not for the purpose of leaving Mitzrayim. Leaving Mitzrayim to take on a role in the world. And I promise you there's going to be a role. So I'm a charlatan, and I feel that we have enough manpower to leave Mitzrayim. Okay, and then God's going to come to speak to us in the Midbar and tell us what our purpose is. Really? How do you promise that part without having God told you that? So Pekida is only possible to say that there's going to be, I'm going to now give each one of member of Klal Yisrael a purpose and a function and a role, unless you have a communication from God that he wants to do that. That's the simon. So nobody else would be willing to dare to say that except for the one who really can follow through on that. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klai Yisrael, says immediately that the Brashim speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu in the first conversation and says, he tells them, when you take Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, you're going to come to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu here on this har where the snow was. That's an integral part of the Pekida. So what's the Pekida beginning of Parshas Bamidbar? Based on that Taich, so what's the Pekida over here? So the Ramban, in his Pirush Chumash, grapples with what was the purpose of this counting? What was the goal of the counting? So he suggests four explanations. But I want to focus on one of them. He says that each person of Klal Yisrael would have to come directly to stand in front of Moshe, the Navi Hashem, and Aaron, his brother Aaron the Kaddish, And that's a tremendous chus for the neshama of each person to be able to stand there in front of Moshe and Aaron. Alright? So the Bresham comes and he tells Rabbi Yashiv and Rishon Zalman Orbach that they have to meet with everyone, make account of all Klal Yisrael. So each person of Klal Yisrael has to go and spend the moment with Rabbi Yashiv and right, Gishmak, Gevaldik, right? Shenda Schus. So that was the Pshat, the Rabban says. Take it a step weiter. There's a going in Mishlei, in Kapitel Tezayin, that he says that the purpose of the Nevi'im and Klal Yisrael, we know that the Morris says in Megillah there was 1.2 million Nevi'im and Klal Yisrael. We have recorded 55 Nevi'im's Nevuos. Right? The Morris says that there was 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os which are recorded, because their Nevuos were for the generations to come. But when the Nevuos was in Klal Yisrael, there was millions of Nevi'im. The total of over a million Nevi'im. What was their purpose? The Gaon says their purpose was that when a person would come to them, they would get a Nevuah and tell the person what his purpose in life is. That they were given a Nevuah to each person what you're here for. So everybody wondered, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? It's a good question which we grapple with at some point in our lives, hopefully, right? Why the Rosh put me here? What am I supposed to accomplish it? So you go to the Navi, and the Navi says, you are supposed to be an Aleph Beis Rebbe. That's your purpose in life. So that's it. Right? You have no more sveikas. Somebody always says, I have a great deal. We go into real estate. He says, I don't go to real estate. I know from the Navi that my purpose in life is to be an Aleph Beis Rebbe. You're not going to get a lot of money. So I don't care. It's not about making money. It's about what my purpose in life is. He says, you should be a farmer. You should be a businessman. You should be a lawyer. You should be this. Everybody's going to have a different function and purpose of why they're here in the world, right? So the you could theorize that that's what's happening with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why the Torah used Lashon Pekida. Karn of Hirsch Pekida means an appointment on a position of authority. The Moshe says count Klal Yisrael in Lashon Pekida, which means each person is going to come to the Navi Hashem, and he says, that's what you are about. That's what you're about. So each member of Klal Yisrael is given a role from a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. An extraordinary moment. What happens, what type of reactions does what a person have when he gets that message? Right? What types of reactions would you have? So, L'chera, there are two, or three, right? A triple-edged sword. There's such a phrase, right? Okay. Right? That could be extraordinarily uplifting. You can't get a more warm fuzzy than that. God spoke to me and told me that I have a purpose in life. And if I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. I'm such a chashuv person. Right? Well, just think about it. It can be a feeling of being overwhelmed. God spoke to me and said, you have a purpose in life. If you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. Which means if I don't do it, the whole world is messed up because I have a role to play which nobody else can do. It's all about me. If I don't do it, the world's going to be chasserit and it's going to fall apart. Right? So I can react. Those are two different ends of the spectrum to reaction. So the pasuk says in the Hakdama to Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to talk like so, Vatem tiyuli mamlechus kayanim, v'goy kodesh, Ela ha-devorim eshet tadaber al b'nei Yisrael. Rashi says, "Loi pachas v'lo yoyser." The puzzle starts, "Koyser mar leves Yaakov, v'sagi livnei Yisrael." So Rashi says, "Beis Yaakov is referring to the women. Amira rak, Amira means soft. That's what. Klal Yisrael, the man, dorm kosher kegidim. It's hard. It's harsh." Later on, it says, "What elad dorm?" The exact same words. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say the exact same words to the men as to the women, and to the women, it's going to be amira rak, and to the men, it's going to be dorm kosher kegidim. So what does that mean? The answer is because exactly what we're saying. He said, "You are mamlechas kohanim b'gai kodesh. You're the kahanim. You are now the people which are the leaders of the world. You have a function to minister to the needs of the world, and you have a role to play in the world which nobody else can do." I mean, that's got to be warm and fuzzy, or that's got to be overwhelming and scary. So the women took it as warm and fuzzy. Amir Raka Hasik of Aldik Bar Hashem. The man said, "Ha, Dorm Kikashik to get him." Right? You have to. If you think about that for a second, the Baruch Hu created the world. He created me. He gave me life for a reason, and I have no right to use that life for anything else other than that. I'm a shal on my neshama. Shosh lomidas gazan hafi, right? If I don't use it for the right purposes, right? Simple case, shosh lomidas. Reuven owes the item, and Shimon takes it without permission. So, the Mor says he has it in regalis. Let's say Reuven lends it to Shimon for uses as A, B, and C, and Shimon uses it for D. He's also shosh lomidas. He borrowed it for A, B, and C. It belongs to Reuven still. Shimon is a borrower on it. He doesn't own it. He was given permission to use it for A, B, and C. He never was given permission to use it for D. When he uses it for D, he's a gazlan. So Rashi gave us our neshama and our goof and all of our chayim, everything for the purpose to play a role in the world. I said, Rashi, yeah, that's very nice, but you know what? I decided I'd use it for something else. So you're shoshal with us. Now, you're shoshal on that every second. I rent a car. And it says in the usage over there, only to be used in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. And I drive it into Pennsylvania. Every second I'm in Pennsylvania, I'm a gazlan. So the Baruch Hu gave us a car to use. It's called our body and our neshama. And we get the rental is for the duration of our lifetime. And any second you use it for something else than the Baruch Hu wants you to do, you're a gazlan. It's got to be overwhelming. I mean, it's got to be just like, you can push it. So there's a famous, tells a Rav, he says, I think Rand Himmer said this over sometimes, that the Russia understands that we're not robots and we need downtime. And we have a right to have downtime. That's part of what it means to function. Russia was saying, I'm eating. Russia, excuse me, I gave you a job to work the fields. What are you eating for? What are you sleeping for? I need to eat, I need to drink, I need to sleep. I also need to have time to downtime. But you can't abuse that. You need 2 hours a day to chill out. No problem. Rashi says, I'm giving you 8 hours of sleep. I'm giving you time to eat. I'm giving you time to chill out. And you chill out for 5 hours. So Rashi says, excuse me, that wasn't the deal. So we're not, we're not bound like this, but it is overwhelming. There's a third possibility. And that's Gaiva. Do you know who I am? I'm the guy that Russia chose for this, which he tells me nobody else but me can do it. You're all beneath me. You're not Chashav Zayin. Right? So there's a Pekita for Klal Yisrael. It's in Sias Rosh. We are uplifted by that. We're so Chashav. But it can be a source of Gaiva. And it can be a source of Gaiva even Klapei Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Russian said, it's my job. I have to do it, and even he can't do it without me. So the bitachon goes out of. Now imagine the person chooses not to do it. So the person says, I have no eitzes. That's a mistake. The Russian has eitzes. He'll figure out how to do it without you. He gave you the job, and this is your role to play, and nobody else has that role. But when you blow it, don't worry. The Russian says, I'll figure out a way to make it happen. So don't get so full of yourself. I think that this is what happened to Klal Yisrael, beginning of the Bamidbar. The person says, I'm going to arrange you in the Golit. So the Midrash, the Ramban, the Ben Elchai talk about the Golem represent the Merkaba. Klal Yisrael has now been chosen to be the ones who carry the presence of the Shekhinah on the world. And each person is given his place as a person, as a member of a mishpacha, as a member of a beis av, as a member of a shevet, as a member of a degel. I mean, like, wow. It's a tremendous chus. And each one is directed what his role is and where he's supposed to be. How are you going to react? Are you going to react by being overwhelmed by it? And therefore you're going to run away from Har Sinai. There's more responsibilities, more mitzvahs. I can't handle it. Let's get out of here. Tinnikah Rebbe makes a sefer, Parshas Balos. And you react by saying, you know, we have to make sure we'll make it to Darcy. So it's our job. We can't rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu. We got to do it ourselves. And you're going to send them Baraglim? Are you going to trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Are you going to think that you're the Balgai, but you, Kolayim Klub Kodeshim, who are you telling me what to do, Moshe Rabbeinu? We're also Chashiv. And there's the Gaiva involved in it. So the Chatoyim of Sefer Bamidbor are all rooted in this challenge. And there's different moments of reactions to it. So it comes out, the Chumash is called Chumash HaPikudim. So Chumash HaPikudim, Chazal referred to as Chumash HaPikudim. We call it Bamidbor. Chazal referred to as the Chumash of Numbers. It's not Numbers, it's Pikudim. So what, that's the name of the Chumash. So there's Bamidbor, Nasai, Bahaloista, Shlach, Karach, Chukas, Bolok, Pinchas, Matas, Masa. There's 10 parshias, right? Did I miss something? Did I miss anything over there? Okay. Right. Two of them have countings in it. It's part of Parshas Pinchas, and it's Bamidbor, and it's the beginning of Nasai. So the Chumash is Chumash, Pikudim. If Pikudim means the not the counting, but it means the appointment for positions, responsibility, and a role, every parsha is grappling with what that means. Again and again, we're grappling with the challenges of that in different ways. There's the moments of being overwhelmed and saying, I can't handle this, I need to get away. The times of saying, I'm the Balgai. The times of saying, I'm taking the responsibility to the point, right? And then there's the moments of Nesias Reish, that Kaisel hopefully will rise up to the occasion and become that nation who is carrying the president of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world through going to Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Chumash. The whole Chumash is grappling with this question. Again, so I've taken Rabbi Yaakov's words and expanded it a lot more than what he said, but I it came to me as I was looking at Rabbi Yaakov's word, like this is really a way to look at the whole sefer, etc. Okay, now we lay in Bamidbar before Shavuos every year. We lay in, sometimes it's immediately before Shavuos, which is most years. Occasionally, Nasa is also before Shavuos, but that's rare occasion. In Eretz Yisrael, for example. When Pesach, the first day of Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so Shvi Shal Pesach is Friday. Eretz Yisrael is a parsha ahead of us. They end up with, you know, the type of situation they would have, laying Nasa before Shavuos, etc. Okay, there are occasions like that. Fine. Why? So the Gemara says, why do we always lay in, the Gemara says we always lay in B'chukosai before Shavuos. Tichlo Shana B'kilo Yisrael, let the year with all of its clothes end. And Tocho Shana B'chukosai Yisrael, let a new year start. So what's the new year? The decision about Paris Elon is on Shavuos. Comes Tosis, and Tosis says that Chazal set up the calendar to not have the clothes immediately adjacent to the Yom Tov. So we always lay it beforehand, but there's always a buffer zone. The same thing, Kisava has to be laid before Rosh Hashanah. We never lay Kisava immediately before Rosh Hashanah. There's always a Shabbos in between. Some years it's in the sub, and some years it's some Ve'elach, depending on how the calendar works out. But there's always one Shabbos in between. So it's a buffer zone. So simple toast are saying it's a buffer zone. According to what we're saying, it's more than a buffer zone. It's an antidote. The Morel says, what is Klala? Klala is Simsum. The Klala is the opposite of Bracha. Bracha is, the Morel says, it's Ribui. I give you a Bracha, it's increasing. Look at the letters of Bracha. It's a Beis, it's a Reish, it's a Chaf. Instead of being 1, 1, 1, it's 2, 2, 2, it's more. It's always talking about, it's 2, 20, and 200. Right? It's about more. A spring which is constantly putting out fresh water, new water, is called a Brecha. So Bracha is the increasing something. Klala is being mitsumsum, it's limited. When you don't see that you have the ability to do something, you see yourself as limited. That's Klala. So that's, and the result of that is that eventually you don't fulfill your obligations because you don't believe you can do it. So what's the solution? Nasa es Rosh. pekida, give you a responsibility, give you a cheshivas, tell you, go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, you are the one. You're going to do it. You know, pep talk. You're going to play the role of running of leadership in Klal Yisrael. That's a solution for the klal. That's So now in Shuas, which is the time of being productive, producing something, Paris Elon, creating something, we have it set up in a way that's going to work. And that's exactly what Kleist was told before Mount Thura. You're going to be the Melechus Kainim, you're going to be the Gakodesh, you are the ones. That's the Hakdama to Mount Thura. But the challenge of it is living with that can be overwhelming. So the Avodah is, so now I'm getting to the point I wanted to tell you. I still haven't told you the point I want to tell you yet. I used to do that. I used to speak for like 40 minutes and say, okay, and now we will get to the point we wanted to say. It's like, So Matan Torah is the moment where the Rosh did the same thing to the whole Bria. The Rosh created the world. He created the world for a reason. What's the reason? I don't know. Who knows? How can we? I think the reason Rosh created the world is because of, like, I think. I know what the divine mind is thinking. Rosh, I'll tell you. So Rosh put function and purpose into the world. But it's a Matan Torah. He chose us to be the ones to fulfill that function and purpose. We can become very full of ourselves and focus on how great we are and look down at the Muslim. The person said, that's not what I gave it to you for. We can be overwhelmed by it. I said, if I gave it to you, that means I believe you can handle it. I can't do it. I can't. Take a deep breath, calm down, and do it step by step. Okay, it's my job. I got to do it no matter what. Even though the Rosh Hashanah said not at this point, but I have no choice. I got to make sure that it happens. No, don't worry. I'll take care of it at the end. So the Rosh Hashanah is mamash challenging us. This is Matan Torah. And our avoida of Shuas is to focus on the warm fuzzy of that. Atover Chatur Mikol Amim is the first thing that we say in the tefillah. But every Yom Tov, especially we say the next part of the tefillah is Yalev Yavoi. What's Yalev Yavoi? We agiya v'yipokei v'yizacher zikrefit ufikto nenu lefanecha. We're coming to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Our zikaron and our pikadon. Rosh Hashanah used the lashon of that the Rosh is going to be pikad. Means the Rosh is going to look at it, what is our purpose and have we. Are accomplishing it. But that shouldn't be something which is saddening and frustrating and overwhelming. The avodah is that it's supposed to be something which is gewaldic. And it's not an easy avodah. But I think the deep down, human beings are much happier being functional and having purpose than not having purpose. Purposeless existence is usually a source for tremendous frustration at best, or self-damage, and worse, at worst. I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. Is the hardest thing for a person to grapple with. So, you know, we live in a society, it's very hard to feel like very excited about, you know, our role in the world. You're Adamarishan, you know, there's two of you. It's pretty confidence building, you know. It's yours. Like, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. Right? So now there's four, okay? So, you know, now there's 7.5 billion or 8 billion, whatever we're holding by right now. Like, you know, without you, it's not going to happen. Like, you know, really? You know, like, it's just the Shuas is, no, without you, it's not going to happen. You have each of you is dear enough to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He gave you a special role, a special purpose. The Sashadibras are set in Lashon Yachid. Because it was a private conversation to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to every member of Klal Yisrael. The matter says the Rosh Hashanah spoke to each member of Klal Yisrael and the Madrega that he could handle. So when I heard Anoch Hashem Elokecha, it was different than what you heard. Because I can handle less and you can handle more. See, each person was given their level of responsibility within their. But the goal is that should be in a Sias Rosh. We should take that as we're the Golem, we're the Merkava, we're carrying the Shekhinah. We bring the Shekhinah's presence into the Bria. And that's the Cheshivas that we've given. And to focus on the Simcha that offers, I think, is the word of Shavuos. That was a thought. I did it in 35 minutes. Wow, not bad. So I'll just tell you, I have a few minutes, I'll just tell you a beautiful stipler. The stipler in the Haftarah of Parshas Bamidbar, which we're not going to lay because it's Marcha Chardesh. Well, if we were laying the Haftarah of the Shul, we would lay Marcha Chardesh. But it wouldn't be Erev Chardesh. The Haftarah is from Hosea. And it talks about that the Mitzvah B'nai Yisrael is Rav Kechol Hayom. It's a tremendous amount. Kleisel was very big. And then it launches into this Nevuah of that Hosea Novi was asked to seemingly degrade himself and become, worthless, be involved with the Zoyna, have children which nobody wanted, etc. And eventually those children are going to be taken back. And that was a simon that instead of Kleisel being unwanted and discarded, etc., they're going to be the B'nai Kelchoi. It says, so the Pasuk uses the Lashon that the Makam, that they say to them, Lo Ami Atem, Yermer Lohem B'nai Kelchoi. Instead of saying, the Lo Ami, you're the nothings, you're the Lo Amis, you're going to be the B'nai Kelchoi. So some say like this, a fascinating Lakuta. He says that the purpose of life is to keep growing. But most of us tend to stagnate as we go along. When we're doing well, we tend to stagnate. We tend to get into a groove, we're doing well, this is where we're at, and fine. But when we get to a kishlin and we fall, that's always, to a person who's a thinker and really cares, that's a tremendous impetus to try and do better. So the place of growth is where we fell. But Mokum Yermer Lehem Loyami Atem Yermer Lehem B'nai Kelchoi. In that place where we said Loyami Atem, you're not doing right, that's where you're going to become B'nai Kelchoi. That's going to be the source of growth which will make you the B'nai Kelchoi, as opposed to that which where you weren't a Loyami, you were yes on me, you were doing fine. You'll stay fine. But the place where you fall, if it's difficult and it's challenging, that's going to become. He ties it to the pasuk. Says Shabbat Yipul Tzadik Mekom. So we've spoken about this before, like that. The source of the Semeder says Imola Lo Nefalti Lo Kamti. The pasuk says Shabbat Yipul Tzadik Mekom. Keishem Chayshak Hashem Orli. Had I not been in that moment of Choshech, Hashem would not be light for me. So what does that mean? It wouldn't be in dark time, Hashem wouldn't be light for me. So if it means I'd be sitting in the light the whole time, Hashem wouldn't be, it would also be light for me. So the seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu's light sometimes requires a fall. So falls are not something which is to be frustrated about. They're just to say, okay, this is how the Russians set up the Bria, that there's going to be falls. So I'm going to say something with that, which sounds like epic courses, but since it's the end of the shiur, so you can just cut me off and leave if you don't like it. But Reb Chatzal says it, so I don't feel so bad. That Klai Yisrael was chayte, and all of these examples of Parshat B'Midbar, because they had to be chayte. Now, what does that mean? They have Bechira. So I'm asking the question of Yedi and Bechira. So Reb Chatzal says that Klaisel was on the Midbar for 40 years because it took him 40 years to learn how to adjust this mantle on their shoulders. It was 40 years of grappling with this question of being, we went from being nobody's slaves to being the leaders of the world with tremendous responsibility. Gaiva, Yiyush, overwhelmed, misappropriating it, being feeling good about it. They needed 40 years to work this out. Now, what would be if they hadn't been chayte? That's a din bechira question. The Bresham knows, right? but if we weren't supposed to be in the midbar 40 years, if Hashem didn't want that, we wouldn't be in the midbar 40 years. Right? How that stems, that's the philosopher's question in the Rambam. What was it to say? But it means that this job that we're being given right now, and we're trying to be excited about and to get it right, is a lifetime worth of work to get it right. And the falls are going to be the source of helping me get it right sometimes. So that's going to be the motivation. That's going to be when they get the clarity. Whoa, I messed that up. So let's see. Now I know where the problem is. I can do better. Now I messed up this way. I readjust. Klai Yisrael got 40 years in the midbar, but hopefully they gave a Yerusha to all of Klai Yisrael afterwards, that they're what the approach is. So Rosh Hashanah says, I'm going to give you the stories, so you don't think of it. All right. An intelligent person learns from the mistake of others instead of waiting to do it himself. Yes, you need Kishlin, because that's what the motivation is, because that clarifies and motivates you, etc. So read the story of Kleistos Kishlin. Read the stories of how the challenges they had, how they grappled with it, how they overcame it, how they blew it, how they tried again. And that gives you, so the person says, I'm going to give you in the Torah the antidote to the problem. So you don't have to do the same mistakes again. So the message of Sefer Bamidbar is, let's sort of go through and contemplate and investigate and think about what are the challenges which come along in this role that we've been given to play as the people which are responsible for a tremendous amount of the Hashpah and the Bria. We're the leaders of the Bria. It shouldn't be Gaiva, it shouldn't be Yush, but it should be a Simcha with the same time with a true commitment to the Avodah. Okay. I've